We're talking NFL drafts, NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs, and we're going to make our picks for the Kentucky Derby because that's what we are. We are jockey experts. All of a sudden, it's Bonnie Jill Laughlin's The Weekly Laz.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bonnie Jill Laughlin's The Weekly Pass. As you can see, Bonnie Jill Laughlin is not with us. She is in Kentucky preparing for the Kentucky Derby, which is something that we're going to be talking about sooner than later. I am Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_. I have my panel with me, David. Where can everyone find you?
Yeah, guys. What's up? I'm David. You can find me at David H. Bloom on Instagram and Twitter. Hit me up.
Yes, that was
simple as that.
A stellar intro, Josh.
Thank you very much.
Proud.
Trying to make Bonnie proud.
But you know, you can be quiet because I'll introduce myself. I'm just amazing. Love you all. I'm Becky Sotero. You can find me on all social media at Becky Sotero. Join us in the live chat. Follow us at BJL Weekly Pass on Twitter. We want all things you with us right now.
That's right. Now, Bonnie's in Kentucky.
Yeah, she is.
Mm-hmm. Now, isn't it this thing where you have to wear a hat at the Kentucky
Derby?
Yes,
it's a big deal. It's a really deal. The hat is everything, yeah.
What kind of hat would you wear?
It would be lime green because that's one of my favorite color, if you can't tell. But lime green all the way with something like, you know, flowy, but then coming out, I don't know. I don't know.
David, would you? It's a female thing only? That
female. Or guys, definitely female. The suits.
The guys wear
suits. The suits is a big thing for the guys.
I apologize if I haven't put a lot of time into my Kentucky Derby suit. A lot of thought into that.
But what would you wear? What would you guys wear?
I don't know. I think I would just keep it classy.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
All black.
Oh.
I like it.
Yeah. I think a heather gray with like a white suit underneath.
Yes.
Or a white, you know.
Nice.
Let's take bets on the color hat that Bonnie's going
to
wear.
I know. I can't wait to see it.
All right. So I'm going to say it's going to be red.
Red.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about you?
You know, I feel like it's gonna be like a nice tan.
A nice tan.
Like a
like very classy.
Like a very classy nice tan.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
Okay. I'm feeling a shade of blue. Blue is really in right now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Maybe not quite ocean blue. Maybe teal blue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can see a teal blue.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that Bonnie's gonna be posting on Instagram for
using
her outfit. So keep track of that. Let's get into the week that was in sports, the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. First impressions. Now, we had Warren Moon on, and he said that Baker Mayfield, you know, all hype.
All hype.
All
hype.
Yes. I heard all hype from what he was saying. He was talking about how this kid just might be a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
He's one of those stars that's putting the media too much, and he's just going to become almost like, I mean, what I think is like a Johnny Manziel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he goes first to the Browns. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, I'm not surprised. I know that he talked a lot about his personality, all of that, but if you're going off of his game, I know, again, in OU, it's a different style of game than in the NFL, but he's still a solid quarterback, and I think that it's just no surprise, I think, that he was picked first. But I'm also an OU fan, so I've seen him play on every level. But
So you're not surprised at all?
No, I mean,
really?
I think that he, I don't know, I think that he could do some exciting things. The Browns need some change, so I don't know if like anybody they would have picked first would have made a change, I suppose, but I think it's going to be really exciting to see how he plays there.
Yeah, I feel like it's I like it because it's, I mean, well, the Browns, you're right, the Browns taking a quarterback, they haven't had a lot of luck. I mean, take a look at their entire recent history, but they're taking a shot with this kid. Like, I feel like they're not just going because the safe pick would have been like Sam Darnold or even a Josh Rosen or like a Josh Allen, but they're going with it. But it just reminds me too much of Manziel. The way he plays and the way he acts as well. I mean, Manziel fell 20. He got one, but I think they should have gone with Darnold out of USC.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I actually am higher on Baker Mayfield than Warren Moon was. I think Baker can play a little bit, but I am with you on the fact that he does remind me too much of Johnny Manziel.
Too much,
and
though,
if
that's
you,
the thing.
You know, it's like kind of like PTSD for some Browns like fans. It's like, oh my God, we just went through this with kind of a diva quarterback with somebody who's all about the spotlight type. I think he's better than Johnny, but it does surprise me that Sam Darnold was there and they didn't take him. And he had a great, you know, draft day. Everyone who's had this glowing review about him, how he played well in the rain, and Cleveland is, you know, a bad weather city during football season, so you figure he'd fit in with them. It surprised me that he went to the Browns. It really did.
Okay, so what do you guys think then? I mean, what are some things behind the scenes the Browns are saying as to why they picked him?
They probably think he's a leader. I think people look at his attitude and his
swagger.
His swagger.
A lot of swagger,
and that he's a leader. I mean, he also, you know, he did have a great career at Oklahoma, so it's not like he's garbage.
Well,
he's a top quarterback for a reason, so I think that's a reason why.
I mean, looking at the draft, like, from a logistic standpoint, if they really wanted a guy like this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This, because I don't think other teams are looking to take this shot. I think you take Barkley at one and then drop to the, and let him drop to the four. Because
right.
The Giants would have probably either went like Bradley Chubb or like a quarterback, maybe even a Darnold or a Rosen or an Allen, and then he could drop to four. Because I guarantee you the Browns would be the only team right now to take him one.
See, I don't. Okay. I get what you're saying. I think the Jets might have taken him at three. That's what I was
really.
And I think he was actually. They were saying on ESPN too that was. What was supposedly going to happen.
Yeah.
So
I think the Browns were scared of the Jets taking him at three because of what you said makes a lot of sense.
It makes a lot of sense. And you get a guy like Barkley, who I think in the Giants system, and I know they don't have a lot of running backs, but they find guys who can make running back type plays. Like Orleans Darkwell last year, he was a guy that, I mean, you didn't really hear a lot about him prior, but then he comes out of almost nowhere, and he's playing great in the system. I think Barkley's going to thrive a lot, and I think he should have gone one, honestly. I know quarterback, but
people were saying he was the best player.
How would you
draft.
Guys compare OU's game, though, to the Browns? I mean, just, is there any comparison?
The Browns don't really have – college is different in general.
Of course.
I mean, Baker threw a lot of, like, screen passes, short passes, and things like that, and I expect the Browns to actually expand the field a little bit more. They have Josh Gordon, who's a deep threat. They have Jarvis Landry, who can do pretty much anything.
Sure.
So he has the weapons to expand the field. I don't know. I mean, the Browns' offense is almost non-existent. They run the ball a lot.
They run the ball a lot.
They run it a lot.
I mean, last year they had, you know, Crowell and Duke Johnson Jr.
Now they have Hyde.
Yeah.
So,
but so maybe it, like you said, it just comes down to his leadership and being able to kind of coordinate something over there.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about Rosen to the Cardinals?
I like it. Yeah.
Okay.
You go first.
Yeah. No, I like it. Mm-hmm. I think he's – I mean, I live here. I've heard a lot about UCLA, USC football. He's a good player. Mm-hmm. I think he's a really solid quarterback, and I know they had Brett Hundley, and he came in and took over when Hundley was drafted by the Packers, I want to believe, who didn't do a lot, especially Brett Hundley. No shots thrown, but barely beat the Browns. But I think the Cardinals getting him at 10, I think that was a steal. Mm-hmm. I definitely think he should have gone sooner, and that trade to go up to get him.
Right.
Like, when I heard them talking, they were saying – this is where they get him. Mm-hmm. You don't trade up to go get a guy who's not a quarterback like Josh Rosen.
Yeah, I'm surprised he was available at that number, to be honest with you. A lot of people, whether they had Darnold first or Baker Mayfield first, the consensus with Josh Rosen was that he was everybody's number two. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like...
Yeah, that took a while
so he may not be like your favorite out of everyone, but if they were to pick a second quarterback, they'd be like, okay, so we'll go with Rosen.
Sure.
And I'm surprised he lasted, you know, that long, especially Allen going in front of him with Buffalo.
I know.
They traded up to get him, and, you know, he's, I think, aside from Baker Mayfield, the most polarizing quarterback in the draft because he doesn't have that big of a completion percentage, but he has the tools there. He has a huge arm, and I guess you need that in Buffalo, but I'm not sold on Allen. I think Buffalo made a mistake going with Allen instead of Rosen, and I think the Cardinals got a steal.
Well, it's interesting you talking about that. Maybe it was just finite, specific details the teams were looking for.
Exactly.
You
know?
Good point. That's
what
a good
works
point.
In the Buffalo system, what works in the Arizona system.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point, Becky. Because Buffalo, you need the arm. It's going to be cold weather and things like that.
Sure.
I think the Jets get Sam Darnold, and that's an absolute steal.
That is a such a steal.
At number three, I think he's the best quarterback in the draft. Obviously, time will tell, but the Jets needed a quarterback desperately. They traded at the three spot thinking, I think they were going to get Baker Mayfield, and now you get Sam Darnold. I think they hit the jackpot there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So what do you guys think of Darnold? Do you think he's going to be a good pro?
I actually think he's going to be one of those quarterbacks that comes early in the draft and actually does something.
Yeah.
He's got the size and the arm to do like what he needs to do, and he's like a good situational quarterback. He can fit the ball where it needs to go, and I think not a lot of quarterbacks work great in the Jets system, but I think he can work in the Jets system.
It's not just you know, you got to surround him with players and playmakers and things like that. The Jets just haven't had luck surrounding
him. They really don't.
Yeah.
They just have
bad luck in the draft. So a nice moment in the draft was when Shaquin Griffin was drafted by the Seahawks.
Oh, I like that.
For those who don't know, he's a linebacker. I think he hits a linebacker. He drafted by the Seahawks, and he has one arm, basically.
Yeah.
And he's a freaking beast. He's from Southern Florida, or is it Central Florida? Central Florida.
I think it's Central Florida, yeah.
Yeah, and here's the video of him being drafted right here.
Oh, so emotional. That's
great. His brother, Shaquille Griffin, is a member of the Seahawks, so he's going to be playing with his brother.
How I'm literally awesome getting that? Chills watching this.
Oh.
Look at that.
So good.
That's amazing.
Going to play in Seattle.
And we're showing Shaquille's video, but there's videos like this all the time.
Sure.
I mean, this is every single draft from home video is it?
Yeah, I mean, just to see someone's dream come true. I mean, his story is unique because he literally he doesn't have a hand. He has one hand.
And he's one hand.
It's amazing. You can see it right there. I don't know if you guys can see the video right there. Yeah, he's hugging his brother.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's, you know, how you can be an elite athlete with a disability like that is unreal to me. And, you know, I wish him nothing but success, and I hope that Seattle treats him well.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be good. He was showing out at the combine, too.
Yeah.
For a player who does have this disadvantage like him, he's showing out and he's proving that he can actually play this game, which I think is amazing.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, we all know too in sports, it's heart. Heart can sometimes make up for you have a missing limb. Well, if your heart is there, you're going to be taking it to the next level more so than some athletes who take it for granted, having every little piece of their body there.
All right, Becky, what picks stood out to you the most, though?
Lamar! Yes, so we talked last week. We talked last week about, Warren talked about Lamar being his number one pick, Bonnie's number one pick. The Ravens got him, which is exciting. And I think if they play to his strengths, play to his plays, he's going to have just a superstar moment over there.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, he's already talking Super Bowl, which is exciting. So I love a player who can just demand what he wants. You know, he's like, my game's going to play and my game's going to show how good I am. So it's awesome.
Yeah, it's good. And I mean, what they did was really smart because they have a player that can come right after Flacco. Mm-hmm. He can finish up his career, do what he needs to do, maybe take him to the playoffs once or twice. I don't have a lot of faith in Flacco. I'm so sorry, Ravens fans. But
I don't think they have it either, to be honest with you.
The good defense, but quarterback situation's not looking amazing. But let him finish his career. Build this guy up, sitting on the bench. Give him a few starts when you have these, like, almost garbage games. You can just use players that you don't normally use. Eventually, he's going to be a great quarterback.
You think so?
I definitely think so. He's going to be one of those who was taken semi-late draft. But he's got – because him playing at Louisville, he was amazing. Yeah. And he was getting a lot of media attention. And then the media attention kind of stopped and it focused on these four quarterbacks. And he was kind of a fifth.
Yeah.
And I honestly thought when – because I was watching this very closely. I'm a Packers fan. So I was watching when the Saints traded for that Packers pick, the 14. I was expecting them to go Lamar Jackson there. But they didn't. They went with a edge rusher or something like that.
Yeah.
And then eventually fell so far all the way to, what was it, 32?
Mm-hmm.
My God.
Yeah. It's unbelievable, honestly.
I was kind of hoping the Giants were to grab him in the second round. I was like, oh my God, he may not get out of the first round. Day two, the Giants have the second pick in the second round. That would have been crazy if we got Saquon and then Lamar Jackson for the future. I would have been so freaking
right
happy.
Right after Eli? I mean, Eli's getting to that age where you can, if you, them too.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm a Giants fan and, you know, just from my favorite team's perspective, I'm glad we got Saquon Barkley. But
of course, you must be.
I don't know if I'm as sold as the Giants organization is that Eli is, you know, still capable of winning a Super Bowl with the Giants. I mean, they obviously showed this draft that they're doubling down on Eli Manning and protecting him with an offensive lineman in the second round, Will Hernandez, and then they got Saquon Barkley, so they're giving him weapons. What about your favorite teams? Like, how do you feel like your favorite teams did?
Well, and there's also, you know, a reason why you feel that way about Eli Manning. It's because he's not capable of taking the Giants to the Super Bowl. He did twice.
Well, he's older now.
Which I think is amazing just in itself, but no, you just can't, especially with that team they're putting him through in that system. But I'm a huge Packers fan, been for almost, I think, like a decade now or something. And they picked Jahir Alexander, who I really like, from Louisville, cornerback, which I think – and they also picked Josh Jackson from Iowa, cornerback, which is amazing for the Packers system. And they also got some wide receivers, some help on the lines. But I think it's really important for a team like the Packers to get these players, like, to replace a lot of the cornerbacks they lost. Like, I know they lost Demarius Randall and they lost Micah Hyde a year ago. They've just – all these guys have been – I think Morgan Burnett, he might have gone too. I can't remember.
But are you happy with the Packers?
I'm very happy. Okay. I think we can utilize these two corners.
Yeah.
Because, like, Hawklin Dix, we picked him. He fell late. But he's a player who's one of our best defenders on the team right now.
Yeah.
So if he can play like that, being picked late, we get someone at, I think we had like 18 or one of those later picks, I think the Packers can do a lot with those players, and especially the young wide receivers they get. They can use those very well. Like Geronimo Allison, who they use amazingly.
Got it. Becky, who are you rooting for these days?
Oh, my gosh. I think it'll always be Rams. It's in my blood. It's in my blood. It just always will be.
You see your Rams traded tape on Austin?
I know. I still think that they're going to have a solid season. I'm excited to see what unfolds there.
They got a lot. They really got a lot. They went out, and they're going to win now. Yeah. I respect it.
They are. It's all or nothing this year for the Rams.
Yeah.
All right, Becky, let's talk NHL playoffs. What's going on?
That's right. So... you guys been following it?
I have been, actually.
Yes, okay. I have been also following it,
we are round two series tied across the board.
It's crazy.
The interesting thing to note is that in the Metro, Atlantic, and Central, all three divisions, the two teams are the one and two seed.
Okay.
So that is why we're going to be seeing this, like, tied. There's no leading favorite. We thought it was going to be, you know, we thought it was going to be Nashville. We thought it was going to be Vegas. Well, Vegas did... win an OT last night, just in case you guys weren't following that game. Carlson came out with OT win. So, yeah, Vegas is now one game ahead of San Jose, but so it's hard fought. Yeah, San Jose is coming out to play.
That's going to be a great series because they're both two teams that swept SoCal teams.
Yeah.
Like, they have a lot of similarities.
But... right. The problem, though, I think, and we'll talk about this when we get into the NBA, too, is that the Vegas Golden Knights and the San Jose Sharks had a lot of time to rest while the Eastern Conference teams were... you know, dueling it out, if you will. So I think it's just going to be interesting to see how it kind of plays out in their series. But again, San Jose is coming out to play. Vegas is strong. The Caps and Pens, you know, you've got two dynamo teams. So that's going to go to game seven.
It's always a great series, probably a seven.
And Winnipeg just came out to play. They're playing the Preds, which we thought the Preds were going to take the Western Conference and
give them trouble.
Winnipeg's giving them trouble.
And then surprised me too. I watched game one of the Lightning and Bruins. And then after the Bruins played, you know, in round one, they got taken to seven games by the Leafs. I'm thinking, all right, well, you know, it's not going to be easy against Tampa. And they just blew the doors off.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they did. Game one. But it's going to be a tired series. Again, I think that's going to be a teeter-totter. I mean, when you have San Jose and Vegas are 1-3 in the Pacific, so it's not a 1-2, but it's very rare to have the 1-2 seeds playing each other.
Okay.
So, and that's what's happening in the Atlantic, Central, and Metro Division, so it's going
to
be interesting.
All seem to be. I mean, they all seem to be hard fought because I mean, when you say 1-2, like you expect these series to go maybe at least six, which is a thing. And
I think they'll go to seven. I think it's just going to be a teeter totter. There's no win.
All the series go to seven. That'd be crazy.
I think
want that.
It's just
hockey.
They're
please.
All so good and they're all so competitive. They're great in the playoffs. I don't know. I'm really excited to see how it pans out. So we've got the. We've got the Pens and Caps playing tonight,
so
it's going to be a biggie for sure.
And where's that? That's in Pittsburgh.
They are in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Exactly.
There's
so
good fans there,
and that's my team. The Pens are my team.
That's right.
So, I mean, obviously, I work for the Kings. That's my Western Conference. Don't email me or tweet me mean comments.
About to get a lot of hate right now.
But no, I mean, you can't lose with Ovi and Crosby going up against each other. It's just such a great battle. So
those are two of the two of the best players in the entire league right now.
Yeah, there are generations Gretzky's. So
they really are.
Woo! Here we go, guys. Let's keep going.
All right, now let's talk a little bit of Kentucky Derby.
Kentucky Derby.
Okay, yeah, you guys. Do you know anything about the Kentucky Derby? Not so much.
I just know it's a race.
Right.
It's the first leg of the Triple Crown. Leg of the Triple Crown. Bonnie's there.
So it goes. If you guys don't know the Triple Crown, it's the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and then the Belmont Stakes. So it's the Triple Crown. Kentucky starts it off. 20 horses, and a lot of it depends on which gate you're coming out of. So you could be one of the best horses, but if you're coming out of, you know, gate one,
it does matter?
It does matter because that horse is sitting in there for a long time while they're loading in all the other horses.
So
that's a biggie. But let's talk about one of the leading ones is the horse Justify with Humberto Gomez. He's the rider.
Humberto Gomez. Yeah.
Trained by Bob Baffert, who has won a ton of Kentucky Derby. So he's moving, four-time Derby winner to be exact. So he's a favorite to win. We're excited about that. Now he's starting from the seventh post, and the seventh post has won six horses have won from that spot.
Oh, wow.
So that's the leading favorite is Justify. Now I know you guys are going to pick yours based on names.
We are.
We've got Mendelssohn. I think that's how you pronounce it. He's coming from Europe, and this would be the first time a horse from Europe would be competing and won. And he's
really?
Yeah. Yeah. He's a 5-1 right now to win. So
really? That's first time?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
First of all, I mean, if he wins, first horse from Europe.
And to be a 5-1?
Yes. Yes, wow. And our 6-1 is Magnum Moon. Oh, I love it.
Magnum Moon.
Thank you for the pictures, Magnum Moon. It's coming out of the gate 4-0.
That name sucked with Josh
O'Bear. He's coming out of the gate 4-0, you guys. He's won the last two of his.
Oh, he's hot.
Yeah, he's coming in hot right now. We've got Audible at 8-1 and Bolt D'Oro at 8-1 as well. So there's already five that are coming out pretty strong. Do you guys want me to run through names so you can pick your faves?
I actually have the names right here, but okay. If you want to go through the names,
no,
that'd
tell
be cool
me who
for,
you. Who
okay, no, you go because I have to look at this. I think I'm going to go Magnum Moon though.
That's
okay,
that that's
name
a good
stood
choice
out to me.
Okay, Magnum Moon. How about you? Who do you like?
You know what?
We got the list right here.
I want to go the horse from Europe.
Oh, okay, Mendelssohn. Okay.
Mendelssohn. Yeah, I
Let's
am.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Why not? You know, why not?
You know what's funny? Before I even found out about Justifies,
yeah.
Anyway, I'll make this story short. Before I even found out how good he is doing, how well he's doing, I was going to pick him because in the light of NSYNC getting their star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame,
yeah.
Justin's first album was called Justified. So
that's
I was
right.
like, I'm going to pick Justify because it's anyway.
I like
so.
This. All right, so this is going to be my trifecta. Trifecta for people who bet horses know yeah. that it's you pick three and they have
yes,
to finish
do.
In that order.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have Magnum Moon.
Yep.
Finishing first.
Okay.
Audible because that's like a football term.
Yep.
I like
very
that.
Much.
Oh yeah. So I'm going to have that, and then my third horse uh-huh. is going to be Free Drop Billy.
Oh, I like Free Drop Billy. Yeah,
Free
yeah.
Drop Billy. So there you go.
I'm similar. I'm Justify, Audible, then Magnum.
Okay.
I'm going to say. Mendelssohn, you
okay,
know,
okay.
I'm high
Sticking
on the Mendelssohn
friend.
Train right now.
Right.
I'll say, you know what? For you, Josh, I'll put Magnum Moon second.
Okay.
All right.
And then third.
Oh, hold on. Here's your third.
Pull up the list.
Right there.
I mean, I know every single name already, but yeah. might as well pull up the list. You know what? I'm going to go with
Bolt. I think you should go with
yeah,
Bolt.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Somebody needs to take Bolt.
I'm going to go with yeah. Bolt.
You guys, message us. Tell us who yeah, you think are your top three.
Is there anyone in the chat right now?
Yeah, we've got Julian Smith hanging out with us right
what
now.
What up?
Yeah, message us, guys. Yeah. We want to know who you're rooting for.
What is your trifecta? We should probably place a bet again. I know I have to take a pie to the face.
I know you do.
So should we put another pie on this? Like, what should we do?
somebody has to buy the other person their favorite meal.
Mm. Oh.
Mine would be cheap. I love French fries.
You like French fries? I like pizza.
Okay.
You know, I'm a big French fry guy, too.
Okay.
I go pretty cheap.
Perfect. So it's going to be French fries, pizza.
That's right.
Whoever gets the closest to that.
We're going to have a meal here.
That's right. And let us know on Twitter at BJL Weekly Pass
yes.
what you think is going to happen in the Kentucky Derby. We're going to be joined very shortly by Johan Buha, who is a writer for ESPN. He writes about the Lakers and the Clippers. Great. He'll be walking through that door any minute now, but... You know, we're not going to wait for him to talk NBA.
Yeah, let's
no,
dive in.
We're not going to wait.
Get into it.
All right, so before we get into the second round, let's talk LeBron and the Cavs mm-hmm. against the Pacers, his crazy Game 7 performance. I mean, his crazy just first-round performance in general. He's doing everything by himself. They play the Raptors next series.
It's exhausting.
It's exhausting. It's crazy. Now, do you think he can carry this team past the Raptors?
I think mm-hmm. what he can do is he can carry them as far as he needs to carry them. But it's going to really determine, especially versus the Raptors and versus the winner of the of the Sixers-Celtics series. We are live, yes. Things happen live. But, I mean, we can get into that series later. But it's going to be about, can his team take him over the Raptors and over that next series to the finals?
Right.
And, you know, I think having LeBron... I think the farthest he can take them is going to be enough, at least for this series. But he's got to get his guys to do better things.
I mean, I think it's all going to be mental toughness, 100%. And for me, he's not only one of the, if not the greatest, you know, basketball player we have in our generation right
oh,
now.
For sure. Yeah.
He has shown time and time again. Not only is he physically strong, he's mentally strong, and he's going to have to keep that up, but I think he will. You know, like even he said, I want to go home, I'm tired, at the end of that press release. He's like, I just want to go home. But he will show up to, you know, to every game ready. I just think it's such a shame. They just need consistency from the rest of the team. Like, it's just getting ridiculous.
Just something,
yes.
right?
They really
just
need something. They need Kevin Love, like in that Game 7 versus the Pacers. At the end of the game, it seemed like going back and forth, their defense and their transition defense was amazing. Every single time they get the ball, doesn't really matter who it is, especially, which is nice to see, was Kevin Love. He would be put mm-hmm. open from the situational mm-hmm. coaching from T. Lou, and he would get open, and he would make these threes and these mid-range shots, and then when the Pacers would bring it down the floor, they would take decent mm-hmm. shots, but they just were not falling, and it was the pressure from the Cavs scoring and then trying to go back and forth, which eventually just allowed the Cavs to win that game, but it was
when they lost him in the third, though, the team stepped up a little bit. So they just need that consistency.
They need to do it again. And they were playing, I mean, it was game seven. Mm-hmm. Teams play game sevens like it's their last game because mm-hmm. it could be their last game. So they really go out for it. But I remember watching that game and I just kind of saw LeBron walking in. Mm-hmm. He was just kind of walking in from the tunnel and I knew that's it. Yeah. It's like the closer coming in for the game. That's it. LeBron's coming in. He's about to drop, finishes 45, and I mean, what more can you ask from the guy?
Yeah, I don't know if there's much more you can ask. I just don't think the Cavs are that good of a team, to be honest with you. You can ask mm-hmm. for his players to step up, but if they're not good enough to step up, they're never really going to step up, at least consistently. Yeah. I think the only one you can actually ask to step up is Kevin Love, because Kevin Love has shown he can score at least 20 a game in this league. Mm-hmm. He was brought over for that reason, at first to be the number three with Kyrie and LeBron, and now sure. he's the number two. He has to start acting like a number two. To me, I think they're kind of lucky they're playing the Raptors, because out of the teams yes. that are left, I think the Raptors, their reputation is a well-deserved one, where they just kind of...
They're hungry, though.
Yeah, they are hungry, but they do fail a lot in the playoffs. They do underachieve in the playoffs. Their brand of basketball isn't that conducive to those, right. to how you want to play in the postseason. They take a lot of mid-range jump shots, even though Dwayne Casey tried to shoot the three more this year with the team. DeRozan, to me, is... He's not a superstar, but he's someone that I don't feel comfortable leading my team. Same no. with Kyle Lowry.
I like him. I think he's a good player, but I don't want him and Lowry and like Valanciunas, mm-hmm. like and like Norman Powell, like being my team that's going to take me to the finals.
Yeah,
so I don't see. I don't see it.
I don't trust it at all. To be honest with you, I don't trust the Raptors. And I think the Cavs take this in seven. What do you guys think?
I'm going to say 7-2.
Yeah.
Just because I think it is a one seed and it is a four seed. And this is one of the worst Cavs team we've seen under LeBron. One of the worst teams since, I guess, going to the Heat and this finals run.
When they play every other game, every other day. Like, again, it's going to come down to mental
It's going to take a lot. Yeah. And I think that. I mean,
I don't know. I personally think the Raptors might capitalize.
Really?
I think there could be an upset. Because, again, it's going to be on LeBron's shoulders.
But that's
the thing.
You say upset, but it's they're the one. They're the one, and it's an upset. So it's real interesting looking how the four seems to be favored.
But the Cavs will always be, number one. Cavs, you know what I mean? Saying, so the upset, yes.
But I'm saying it's just really interesting how this is one of the times where you look at a four and a one, and mm-hmm. you say, well, most likely the four is going to take it.
Because it's LeBron.
It's LeBron, and it's just a thing you see every year in the East. Yeah. LeBron rarely gets the one seed. It was unlucky for him, and you see why this is a bad team, because he dropped to four. But he doesn't get the one seed a lot, and it's teams like the Celtics or the Pacers a couple of years ago with Paul George and like Roy Hibbert and Danny Granger. Right. And it's teams like that Hawks team, you know, with Teague, Horford, Korver, Millsap, who had like four All-Stars, played team basketball, eventually just lost in the playoffs. Now it's the Raptors. Mm-hmm. They're going to lose. They're going to lose.
We'll see.
I'm not really sure.
CJ on the live chat thinks that it's the best Raptors assembled team.
He's right.
But he's going with the Cavs.
Still, it could be the best Raptors team.
But CJ is right. This is the best assembled Raptors team in the DeRozan-Lowry era.
Yeah, for sure.
You can argue that it's the worst LeBron team since the one he took to the finals in 07. So things are working towards the Raptors' way. It wouldn't surprise me if the Raptors win.
I could see it. But even with the worst LeBron team and the best DeRozan-Lowry team, I still think LeBron takes it.
Yeah.
Just because of what he can will any victory he wants. Really, if he wants to and puts all his heart into scoring 45 versus the Pacers, he can will any single win, not series win, game win he wants.
Got it. Apparently our guest Jovan is here, Marissa. I don't know if he's at the door outside or if he's actually at the studio four door trying to get in. Just give me a heads up. We're breaking the fourth wall here at AfterBuzz TV.
I love it. Wow. We got our guest here. That's what's important.
Yes. Y'all. And to close out the first round, we have to talk about the Thunder.
Yeah, we do.
Because they were such a disappointment this year. A lot of people had them competing with the Warriors when the season started, things like that. What do you think about that? Where do you go from here if you're the Thunder?
I mean, you're capped out with Westbrook, so I don't know where you go from there.
Right.
I also think that, man, let's just talk about, I felt like his how he was with the fans, I thought there was going to be some punches thrown.
Yeah.
Do you see that? Yeah, do you see that? Oh, man.
Yeah.
Both times he got off the court, he was like throwing punches almost anyway.
Yeah.
He's but he's got the game on his sleeve, you know. I think a lot like LeBron, he's their star. So, mm-hmm.
But he's the difference between him and LeBron is Westbrook's style of basketball. Mm-hmm. Even though he plays with his heart, and even though he's got that energy and like tenacity,
yeah.
Westbrook basketball doesn't win championships.
Oh, shots fired!
Shots fired! Westbrook. He's an amazing player. He can put up triple doubles, get the record, but he's not distributing the ball enough to players who are actually mm-hmm. really good, yeah. like Paul George and like. Okay, I mean like. Kind of mellow, like a little bit mellow. Like, I don't feel comfortable saying LaMelo. Mellow is good anymore, yeah. but he's enough that if you distribute that ball well, I mean, they were thought of as one of the West super teams, and they got bounced in the first round by the Jazz.
Well, they obviously weren't a super team. Now, joining us here in studio is an ESPN writer for the Lakers and for the Clippers, too, as well, right?
Yeah.
Jovan Buha, yeah. ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Nice for you to join us.
Thank you for joining us.
Now, he's an NBA expert. What do you think of the Thunder? Like, let's put a bow on the Thunder season, and where do they go from here? And express your disappointment.
We talked about it with the playoff preview. Yeah. I think they were an utter disappointment.
Yeah.
I thought the fact that they lost in six, like, I actually had a bet with my friend going to the season. We were debating, like, Thunder Rockets, who would have a better record. And I was on Team Rockets.
Oh, wow.
So I was a little skeptical of the Thunder. But I think the fact that, like, they were kind of billed as the challenger to the Warriors. They were supposed to kind of be in that Rockets position as, you know, the one or two seed, kind of probably who the Warriors are going to face in the conference finals. Mm-hmm. And for them to lose in the first round in six games, mm-hmm. really it could have been five games if mm-hmm. not for that crazy game five that they had.
Yeah.
You know, where they had that 25-point comeback. So, to me, that's a disappointment. I think Paul George is going to leave. I don't really see why he should stay. I think, you know, the only way I could really see him staying is if Carmelo Anthony opts out of his deal, which sure. which I don't think he should.
No.
But he actually might, based on his comments in the exit interviews, because he's delusional. That's what it is. Like, yeah. He has not accepted his limitations now. Yeah. You know, as a 15-year vet, he's not the same player. He's not the same star.
Yeah.
But you saw they asked him about coming off the bench potentially next season, and he was like, "No way! Like, I'm not doing that." And I'm basically threatened, like, if they try to bring me off the bench, I'm going to opt out.
And then you're going to make veterans minimum next year.
Which is smart by the Thunder, by the way. Though they might be doing that intentionally. Like, I don't know.
Okay, opt out. Like, we'll just pay you like enough money for your talent.
They're not going to pay him anything, and he's going to be struggling to find a team. He's going to end up in Phoenix or something like that.
But I also thought it was interesting when Paul George was talking about what he wanted to do for next season with the Thunder, and mm-hmm. he mentioned Russell Westbrook, he mentioned Billy Donovan, and he mentioned Sam Presti. No mention of Carmelo Anthony. So I thought that was a little bit of like a subtle, Melo's not going to be part of this, or he's not a primary factor in my decision. I think it was a disappointment. Like, with the talent they had, you have two top 15 players in Russ and PG.
Yeah.
And Steven Adams, I think, has grown into one of the best centers in the league, mm-hmm. Arguably the best offensive rebounder in the league. You know, I think they have limitations with the bench and with Billy Donovan, but I think that team definitely should have made the second round, if not the conference finals. And you know, the fact that they didn't, I think that's a huge disappointment.
So where do you think Paul George goes?
I think the Lakers.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
I think it happens. I think it's Lakers or Philly. I think those are the top two free agent destinations right now. And I could see LeBron or Paul George going to either one. I think the Lakers, like,
can the Lakers afford both?
They'd have to stretch Luol Deng. And they might have to dump one of the young guys. Like, they lose Julius Randle, probably have to stretch Luol Deng. But I think it's worth it if you get both of those guys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
The one thing I do wonder, though, with that, if you're the Lakers, is like, you know, everyone is kind of gearing up to face the Warriors, and I don't know if getting LeBron and Paul George still puts you on that level. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they're maybe number two or right there with Houston. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're kind of looking at it as the Warriors have the next 3 years or whatever, mm-hmm. maybe you don't want to get a Paul George or a LeBron, and you just say, hey, let's roll with the young guys. You know, looking at their timelines probably 4 or 5 years down the road, mm-hmm. and that's when we start to hit our stride as the Warriors are coming down, because I mean, you get LeBron, you get Paul George, you give up some of the young guys.
Right.
That's cool in the short term, but if you don't win a championship or, you know, on that level, I don't know if it's worth it.
No, it's win now basketball. I'm playing win now basketball in a time where the Warriors kind of have the next like 3, 4, maybe even 5 seasons like on lock, at least for the finals, maybe Western Conference Finals, maybe, you know, Rockets this year. We'll have to see. I think it's smarter to just like wait it out and not, when it's actually your time, be terrible. Wait, like, I know, like, switching over, like, I know the Clippers, it's kind of – I mean, they can go after, like, a guy – people have thought, like, maybe, like, Kawhi. But to just roll with the players and roll with what they have until it's actually the time to be competitive again, I think just – let the Warriors do what they do. Let them have their couple seasons. And then
I don't know.
Let them
win the championship.
I mean, I don't want that. But I don't want that. But like, we're kind of like, we kind of.
I mean, we're in a competitive sport. I think the Lakers are not going to want to sit around for 5 years. I mean, I guess long term, maybe. But I just.
But I mean, you. If you.
Who wants to sit back and just let Golden State take championship?
If you try to. You're going to challenge them.
But I think it's cute. Like, we have our playoff preview and, you know, we kind of dissect the matchups and stuff. It's like the way Golden State looks, I'm just kind of like. I feel like they're just going to roll the rest of the playoffs. Like, yeah. Maybe Houston can push them to like 6 or 7 games, sure. But besides that, I feel like they're going to get through New Orleans, maybe sweep them, maybe it's 5.
Sure. Yeah.
Then you get Houston, and then it's like whoever comes out of the East. I don't think they have a shot against the Warriors. Oh. So
especially with Steph in the game, he'll be starting.
Yeah, and Steph is playing tonight. What I'm thinking is, why even play him tonight? You really need honestly, you need Steph for one series, the Western Conference Finals.
Yes. That's
you
don't
even need him for the finals, in my opinion.
I agree.
Let him rest. Make sure he's 100%. Are you shocked that they're starting him tonight?
I'm not shocked, just because it's you know there was some talk of him even coming back in the first. Like he was saying he could come back in the first round. So I think if anything, they've been very cautious with him not bringing him back in the first round. They didn't really need him. I'm gonna be interested to see how many minutes he plays. Like if he plays like 35 minutes, I'd be shocked by that. I think he'll probably be on a minutes restriction, like I don't know, 20 minutes or so.
Yeah.
If he plays any more than that, even if it's a close game, I'd be shocked by that. But I think you do cut because that was the thing that kind of hit them a little bit last year, even though they ended up – or no, 2 years ago. When the 73-9 team, when Steph got injured, you saw he was a little bit rusty when he came back. It took him a little bit of time to get acclimated, and I felt like he was never really ready in the finals. So I think they're kind of afraid of that where – because, you know, this team, as we talked about with our preview, like they went 7-10 down the stretch heading into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They were not playing great basketball. You saw they flipped the switch. I mean, the Spurs are probably the worst team in the playoffs, so maybe it wasn't the best like example of that. But I do think there's a little bit of like, you know, the Warriors without Steph Curry against the Rockets, I think they are vulnerable. Like
without
Steph
Curry.
Steph Curry, I think they beat the Rockets. It's sure. not really like, you know, I don't know how much of a series it is, but without Steph Curry, I think the Rockets could beat him.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure Steph Curry is healthy and kind of firing on all cylinders because if not, I think you are a little vulnerable.
Well, and also don't you think because Anthony Davis is coming in hot?
Yeah, but I don't think they're really worried about the Pelicans, especially how they handled them in the first game. Like they destroyed them. Mm-hmm. And people in the media were like, oh, I think the Pelicans can, you know, they could take this series without Steph and Draymond and KD. We're not having that.
They still have, you know, Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson. They still have
defensively, they're still.
Oh, of course. They still have enough
guys. I just don't think we should overlook Anthony.
No, we're not going to overlook Anthony
you
Davis.
You can never
look Anthony Davis has to have like 40-10 or 40-15 to even have a shot for this team to beat the Warriors in a game.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not winning.
Well, on a series.
They're not winning this series. First impressions of the Sixers Celtics last night.
I was a little surprised.
Yeah,
I mean, look, when the Celtics make literally like every shot, it's going to be hard to beat. Like that's just with any team.
Yeah,
but I doubt that it happens again where the Celtics have make 12 more threes than the Sixers. Like these teams, these are two really good 3-point shooting teams, and during the regular season and playoffs, they've been about even. So you know the fact that I think. What was it? Bellinelli, Covington, and Sarge went like 0-11 on threes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to happen again. I don't think, I think if you regress to the mean a little bit with the shooting and the Sixers make some more threes, the Celtics make fewer threes, that's more of an even game. But that said, like they defended Ben Simmons really well. Like I think that's the one thing the Celtics have is that they have so many wings to throw at him. You know, Jaylen Brown didn't even play in this game, but you add Jaylen Brown back into the mix. He's another guy you could throw at Ben Simmons. So I think they do have the personnel to frustrate Ben Simmons. I think Brad Stevens is a good enough coach where he's going to exploit the fact that Simmons can't shoot beyond like 10 feet and kind of force him into those decisions where he kind of has to decide, am I going to shoot or am I going to pass? Sure. And now you're kind of slowing down the offense. Joel Embiid did his thing. He had 31. I thought he was still the best player in this game, just like I kind of expect him to be the best player in the series. But Boston did show, like, I think this is going to be more of a series. Like, I was kind of in between. My official pick was Sixers and 6, but I was almost going to pick Sixers and 5. I think Boston showed, like, this could be a 7-game series. And if it goes to 7, they have, you know, it's in Boston, game 7. Like, you never know. But I do think the Sixers are, They've still won, what, like 20 of their last 22?
Yeah.
I think they're going to be fine. But I do think they're caught a little bit off guard in some of their playoff inexperience. Mm-hmm. You kind of saw that in that game one. But that said, I did think it was going to be 1-1 after two. I didn't think they were going to come in and win both. So I think now all the pressure is on Philly to win game two. And we'll see kind of how Brett Brown makes some adjustments.
Do you think that having 6 days off for them made an impact too? Like, do you think it caused them a little bit lackadaisical attitude maybe going into it?
I think so. I think you see how it affects different teams. Like, some teams, that rest is really good for them. Like, I think Cleveland, mm-hmm. it would have been great for them if they were able to finish off the Pacers and get LeBron some rest. But with the Sixers, it seemed like they seemed a little rusty. And, like, sure. their defense, I think they're the number two or three ranked defense in the league this season, and mm-hmm. they look terrible on defense. Like, mm-hmm. it's just simple plays by the Celtics that they were giving up open shots and penetration and stuff. So I think they look terrible on defense, and that was probably a bigger worry for me, because I think the shooting they'll be fine. Mm-hmm. It's the defense, though. It's like, if you're going to play defense like that,
they
you're not going to win.
Shut down, sure.
Oh, completely shut down, yeah. But I think, I want to just get your opinion on a guy like Terry Rozier, who stepped in even in the first series and replaced a guy like Kyrie, who has incredible talent and feels almost irreplaceable, and to come out in this game and score 29 and score 26 earlier and just show Eric Bledsoe who he actually is. Like,
Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah, exactly. What are your thoughts on a guy like that going forward?
Well, I think he's earned himself a lot of money this summer.
Yes.
Oh, for sure.
He's going to be a restricted free agent, so I think he's going to get a big contract. I wasn't the biggest fan of Rozier throughout the season. Like, I kind of thought – it kind of annoyed me how much Celtics fans were kind of – I felt hyping him up a little bit, and it was like – you know, there's comparisons to, like, Michael Jordan, and, like, he shoots like Jordan and all this. It was just like, I was like, all right, this is ridiculous. But, that said, he's really stepped up in the playoffs, and, like, he's been legitimately pretty good. I think he's averaging around, like, 18 a game or something in the playoffs, wow. I think. Mm-hmm. He's been shooting the ball much better. Like, that was kind of the thing with him in the regular season. He's just a very inconsistent shooter. But I think it's been a little bit of a hot streak. I don't know if it's sustainable for the rest of this series, the rest of the playoffs, however long they're in it. But I'm impressed by him, and I think the Celtics now have it was already like, what are we going to do with Marcus Smart? How much are we going to pay him? What's his role going to be on this team? Now they have the same question with Terry Rozier. Like, now you might have to pick between those two, who's going to be the backup guard moving forward, and how much are we willing to spend on those guys? I think this is his third year, and he's really stepped up, and I think someone's going to pay him a lot of money.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Do you think it'll be one of those, like, he has a great playoff run and someone just ends up paying up too much money?
Yeah. Because this summer, which I think we talked about a little bit, like, this is going to be a very dry summer for free agents. The cap isn't jumping as much as people thought it was going to jump. Mm-hmm. And there aren't that many teams with cap space just in general, because the last two summers everyone spent so much money. So the teams, like, if you look at the teams with cap space, it's like Lakers, Sixers, Bulls, Mavericks. Like, it's not really that attractive of teams besides the Lakers and Sixers. So I think it's going to be interesting to see kind of how that plays out, because you're either going to have to pick between getting a lot of money for kind of a crappy team, sure. or staying with your sure. current team and probably taking a discount.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do think if you're a young guy, like, and someone's offering you a lot of money, you probably take that. I wouldn't pay him more than like 13, 14 million a year, but mm-hmm. I could see someone giving him like a monster offer
to the Knicks or something like that.
Oh. Yeah.
One of the most Knicks things I've ever heard. Yeah, we got, Terry Rozier on like a max.
I like Terry, but I'm with you, man. I don't think he's worth that much money. Let's we were talking about LeBron before you came in. Let's shift gears to the Cavs-Raptors series. I want to get his thoughts on that as well. I'm picking the Cavs in seven. Until I see the Raptors actually do something in the playoffs, I'm not comfortable picking against LeBron James, even though this Cavs team is – they're just not good. Like, they're not good. But are you? What do you think about the Raptors and their chances?
I'm with you in the, like, I don't think you could pick against LeBron until they lose.
Yeah.
Like, I just think you have to roll with him. That said, I was really disappointed with how Cleveland, I think, too, it was the type of thing where, like, I just don't I don't think they're going to shoot that poorly again. They shot pretty poorly throughout the whole series for the most part. And it was really like LeBron just bailing them out with superhuman. I mean, I think like the last three wins, he was averaging like 40 a game or something.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous, but that he has to do that for them to win. I think there's almost like a psychological thing too with the Raptors where like he kind of has the Raptors number. And, you know, they've beaten them a couple of times in the playoffs. You saw even, I think, twice in the last month of the season, they beat the Raptors and LeBron had big games. So I do think there's something there with, like, the psychological edge. I'm also interested to see, as we talked about with the Wizards series, like, if the Cavs come in win game one, I think the Raptors start to panic a little bit just because of their history with losing game ones.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to roll with Cavs in six.
Okay.
Although I could see it also going set, like... and I could also see the Raptors winning this series. Like, probably in six or seven. I don't think it'd be any shorter than that. But with the way the Cavs played against the Pacers, like, if they play that level, I think this could be a five-game series for the Raptors. I just don't think the Cavs are going to play that poorly.
I agree. And I think tonight's game is huge because I think the Raptors have to win this game. You have to.
They do.
The Cavs just had a long series. Mm-hmm. LeBron is exhausted.
Yep.
You have home court advantage. There's no reason why they shouldn't win this game.
No, not at all.
By double figures on top of that, to be honest with you. Because I think they have the more talented team.
It's going to say a lot.
I don't think that's crazy to say. The Cavs have LeBron, but, you know, the bench is better on Toronto. You have DeRozan, Lowry have been playing for a while. I don't know. I think Van Vliet being back is huge.
Yeah.
It's so big for the Raptors. I'm expecting the Raptors to win tonight. And if they don't win tonight, I'm declaring the series over. I know it's one game, but...
No, I agree. I definitely think
you got to show me.
Yeah, it's one of the most must-win first games I've seen in a long time, especially, you know, in the Eastern Conference going against the Cavs. And you're right. They do have a lot of talent. And, like, I know guys like DeRozan. I mean, he's not, a superstar. But, like, he's good enough to where he can be, like, just under that level. And there's still guys like Lowry and Powell and Valanciunas who can, like... do enough to help and provide enough points and, you know, defense. It just depends if LeBron still finds, okay, let me just go get this must win with the little gas I have left in the tank.
He needs help. I don't know. No, yeah, I mean, 46 points in games seven, right? Is that what it was? Come on. Like, where are the rest of the players at? This is ridiculous.
What do you think of the chances of Kevin Love stepping up and being that number two option?
Yeah. I made him laugh.
I already wasn't confident heading into the postseason, but after seeing the way he played in round one, like, I think he kind of has to. You know, like, I don't really see anyone else on this team. Like, Rodney Hood, Jordan Clarkson, they're very inconsistent players. George Hill, I guess, would be the other guy, and you kind of saw it in game seven, him step up a bit and that kind of help out. But I don't know. Like, I think that's why on paper, like, if you're the Raptors, you have to be feeling the most confident you ever felt against LeBron, because of the teams that have played the Raptors in the playoffs, this is probably the worst. I mean, not even probably, like, this is the worst Cleveland team that has faced Toronto. And then this is the best Toronto team that's faced Cleveland. So I think you have to feel that confidence of, like, we have home court. We have the best bench we've ever had. This is the worst Cleveland team we're facing. LeBron really has no help. Like, before, you know, you had Kyrie, you could come in, get 30, 40 whenever, you know, LeBron was having an off night or just to help LeBron. Now it's like, it's all on Kevin Love. He's injured. I don't know. Like, which is nuts that still, with all that said, we still pick LeBron because he's LeBron.
I know. Yeah. Have you seen that meme where it's from the Gladiator and he's like, are you not entertained? It's the best meme. It's sad, though. I mean, it's a team sport, not an individual sport. And he's playing an individual sport.
And the last series, the Jazz and the Rockets. I mean, are we going to learn anything this series at all? Or is this I feel like this is the redheaded stepchild of the second round.
Well, you did see in the second half of that game a little bit of the run from the Rockets. From the Jazz to cut it down from like a 20-something point lead down to, I think, 12 was the closest they got it. So you could see a little hint of that. I just think that going from defending the Thunder, who play isolation basketball, don't have a lot of shooting. There were some plays in that series where, like, Russ would literally take like two dribbles past half court and then just chuck up a contested three.
Same with Paul George.
Like, what the hell are you doing? So going from that to playing the Rockets, who the Rockets actually play some isolation basketball, but it just so happens James Harden and Chris Paul are two of the best isolation players in the league. But then also with all the shooting they have, the way they space the floor, like, I think it's two completely different beasts. And I just think that they you kind of saw it, they spread the Jazz out too much. Mm-hmm. And again, as we talked about with the Thunder series, where you know it kind of neutralizes Gobert when you have such a good shooting team that's not really driving as much. I think that's totally the Rockets, where you know they're not really, you know, besides Harden, yeah, they're not really getting into the paint that much. But then that kind of takes out Gobert, because Gobert's strength is come down the paint, I'm going to block the shot, I'm going to contest it, you know, I'm going to use verticality, I'm massive, you're not going to get a good shot around the rim. Well, when you're shooting a bunch of threes, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
You know, so I think that's where the Rockets kind of neutralize Gobert a little bit. And then the other thing is the Jazz don't want to, you know, they don't want to play up-tempo, they don't want to play fast. But if the Rockets can kind of get out in transition, or at least get up quick shots against them, I think that kind of takes the Jazz out of their game.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think the Jazz missing Rubio is a big deal?
Yeah, I do. Rubio played really well in that, you know, the first round series. You know, he had the triple double game where he kind of outplayed Russ, and I think he's been shooting the ball better than he traditionally has.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, missing that, he's a really good defender. People don't really ever give him credit for that, but he's always been a solid defender, and I think he's another guy you could throw at Chris Paul or Eric Gordon or something like that. So mm-hmm. I do think they miss him.
All right, so now let's get your series predictions for the second round. Jazz and Rockets.
Well, I'm going to stick with my original prediction, which was Rockets in six. After seeing game one, I want to go to five.
Yeah.
But I do think that you know, Utah is a pretty good home court with the way they played the Thunder and the way Donovan Mitchell has been playing. Yeah. I wanted to give them a couple games. And I don't think that anymore. But
that
I'm going to stick to my
alternative court that they have.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to change my prediction. But yeah.
Okay, and then the Warriors, Pelicans.
Five. But I'm leaning more towards sweep now. But I'll go with five.
Mm. Sixers, Celtics.
I'm going to stick with Sixers and six.
And then we have the Cavs and Raptors.
Cavs and six. But part of me wants to go seven.
Yeah.
But I'll go six just because LeBron.
Because LeBron. That's always a good answer, because LeBron.
What do you guys think of those picks?
I like them. I definitely think, I mean, the Cavs series, LeBron has a tendency to go into a lot of sevens. I know the last couple like when we saw, like when the Pacers did good, like the Hawks, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
He would take teams in those Eastern Conference Finals to sevens. He'd pull out of the sevens,
yeah,
but he would take them to sevens. So I think that I definitely agree with the Cavs, but I think maybe, I don't know, I could see them going to a seven, or the complete alternative, LeBron falls apart, the Raptors take this one.
Yeah.
In,
no, it's true.
Not even seven. They take this one in six. They go win this game tonight. They go to Cleveland. I don't know how it's going to look out. Maybe steal one. And they just use their advantage on paper. But all the other picks, I think they're solid. I agree.
I mean, I think LeBron series.
Yeah. It's the LeBron series. It's LeBron really, versus the
it's
Raptors.
It's the only series. I'm legitimately, like, I have no idea. I mean, I think it's going to come down to game one, like you were talking about.
Okay.
But I wanted to ask, can you chat about Kawhi, his quad injury, the mysterious quad injury?
Yeah.
What is your take on this? What's happening?
I actually side with Kawhi in this situation. Okay. I feel like a lot of people are taking the Spurs
side. They really are.
Which Kawhi actually had a quote in the piece that ran today about, you know, the Spurs have been this kind of model of success for, you know, two decades. I've been a Spur for six years. Like, people are going to take the Spurs side. That said, like, some of the stuff with his uncle and his agent and that management team kind of is a bit shady with some of the stuff that was reported about their history and their dealings with different stuff. And I definitely think it seems like they've kind of gotten into his head and are affecting him a little bit.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, if he doesn't feel comfortable to return, and, you know, he's saying that and the Spurs are disagreeing with that, you know, it seemed like what they were basically saying was that, you know, the Spurs are calling it a muscle issue and Kawhi's people are calling it a tendon issue. Mm-hmm. And there's kind of some disagreement on how to handle that injury. So, you know, if he doesn't feel comfortable to play, like, I don't think he should play. And I think that, you know, Kawhi's quiet, but he clearly is a competitive guy. He comes back every season better than the season before. So I don't think he would just be sitting out for, like, you know, being a baby or something.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm on Kawhi's side in that regard. The other thing that I thought was interesting that people aren't really bringing up, but I thought was super interesting, was that there was kind of a subtle shot at the Spurs where he said, you know, he kind of injured that quad in March 2016 and kind of felt the Spurs misdiagnosed it. So to me, it seems like that lack of trust and starting to go outside the Spurs to get other opinions started right. with that injury where, you know, he got that injury. They thought it was not really a big deal. Yep. And then it kind of was nagging him and hurting him for the rest mm-hmm. of the season. So it seems like that trust, you know, that distrust has been there for a couple years now. Sure. And it's kind of been festering. And then this season was kind of the manifestation of that.
Sure.
So I'm more on Kawhi's side. I know a lot of people take the Spurs side and, you know, it's, you know, he should be around the team and what's he doing? And he's being a, you know, prima donna, whatever. I think it's more complicated than that. And I just think, like, if a guy doesn't feel ready to come back, you can't force him to come back.
Sure.
And it seems like he has legitimate reasons
great input.
To feel
Thank
that.
You.
What yeah, do you think about that? What's your thoughts on that situation?
I mean, yeah, I agree with you. I think that if a player is injured and they aren't ready to play, you don't play. I mean, I don't care what the organization says, but I think there's a lot of conversation about the Spurs saying one thing about the injury and then other medical professionals saying something else. So there is definitely a distrust there.
All right. Yeah. Sounds good. Well, that does it for our show, yeah. ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Yovan, thanks for joining us, man. Where can people find you? Look into that camera right there. That's your camera.
Yeah, I've been looking at you. People can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Jovan Buha, JOVANBUHA. And my Facebook page is Jovan Buha, NBA, JOVANBUHA, NBA. So...
Nice, man. Thanks for joining us. You can find him on ESPN as well, writing articles that you're reading probably yeah, every man. Day, not even knowing it. Becky!
Becky Sotero at all things Becky Sotero. Thank you for joining us on the live chat. We started at 2. I know somebody mentioned we were starting at 3. I don't know why that was on there, but we started at 2, so rewatch us. Good to see you guys.
You can find me at David H. Bloom on Instagram and Twitter. Hey, Kawhi, like, you can come to like the Clippers if you want. So, like, we're here. We'll let you do what you want.
I think there's
like,
some truth to that little
see?
Rumor percolating.
The ESPN writer says it. Come here.
I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_Kawhi. You can come to the Knicks if you want. We have nothing to give the Spurs, but you know what? We can make it work. Bonnie Jill will be back next week. Right yep. now, she's at the Kentucky Derby. Hopefully, what did I say? Magnum Moon? That's who I picked. I don't know. I just like the name.
Justify.
Hopefully, Magnum Moon takes... not the triple crown. This is just the first
The
leg.
Derby, yes.
Just
the
derby. One race at a time. We will see you next week for Bonnie Jill Lavlin's The Wheatley Pass.
That's right.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.